You could be seated for a moment, please. Praise God. We had a men's fellowship that was different than any men's fellowship I've ever been in. And it was just so unique because what Sister Sarah just did for Sister Annette is built her up. Even though she says, oh, you don't have to do all this. Stop it. We always stop it. But you don't know how important it is that, let me go a little further. We have more women in this church that are not married than are married. And because of that, God will move upon someone else's heart to acknowledge you. You being acknowledged is so important. So back to the men's fellowship. On men's fellowship, the Lord moved upon Brother JZL. And when you have your phone and you're on men's fellowship, you get a picture of each man that's on the men's fellowship. And he started at the top, and he started sharing, as the Holy Ghost led him, the importance of each person on that call to him. And it was so incredible how God just said, and he interrupted someone else's testimony because he felt it so strongly. And so as he began to share how he felt and what impact that person had on his life, man, I saw, and the Lord put it in my heart to tell these men, get on the screen, show your faces. And I didn't know why the Lord had me say that until I start seeing the tears. When I saw the releases of emotions, when I saw them being affected by what Brother JZL was saying. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost, but it was just so powerful because very rarely do you find yourself where people really acknowledge to who you are and what you mean to them. And so when you have a family, even your family, it happened at the end of the service last week. The Lord showed it to me again. I'm not off on a tangent, but I need to tell you what I'm seeing. Because sometimes, I'm not saying that you don't see it, but you might not. And so as I'm seeing this, Sister Arkell's sitting in the front watching her brother preach and teach and minister to us on Wednesday. And the Lord just showed me this something was in her heart that needed to be expressed, if you understand what I'm saying. There was a pride. There was a, and not an ungodly pride, but a pride to see him. And she realized that he was not the same man that he was prior, days past. And when he finished, they were just about to leave, and we caught them in the back. And I said, you need to say that to him. And I'm not saying that she wouldn't have otherwise, but she told him how proud she was of him. And see, that's how God restores families. See, what you used to despise, what you used to hate, what you used to dislike about somebody, God turns it all around. And he restores that what you lost. The Murray family is experiencing the same thing. We used to have prayer meetings, or not just prayer meetings, but just family meetings, and it was always something off. But God gave us time to go and do and be what in these arenas that we've been in. And now when we come back together, it's something powerful. And something so much different, because it's like we're all in one mind and one accord now where we never experienced this before. There have been some of us that have stood off at a distance and they've gone through these trials and tests by themselves. And when they come back with us, it's like we're not connected because you weren't willing to share where you were struggling. You weren't willing to share what you were going through. And because you weren't willing to share, we have no connection with your pain. And that is not of God, church. Whatever you've gone through in your life is significant to this body because God doesn't find anything that you go through a waste. That's right. He uses everything that you go through to give him glory. Because not only the fact that he brought you out of it, but the fact that he is healing you of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'd like you to stand. I'm going to have you enter back into my problem. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you see, I hope you can find yourself here with me when we're all done. Because everything you need is here, but if you don't take advantage of it, you're the one that's losing or lacking. Everybody say it with me, everything I need is in Jesus. So if he's lacking nothing, and then he says, ha, he provides an environment for you to thrive in, and that's the church. It's your family. It's your relationships. And those are just examples. There may be more. He gave Adam and Eve what? Eden? So that they can thrive, so that they can grow and have what they needed from him in that interaction, in that relationship. But we have the church. So let's make the best of it. Amen? Let's make this the best place it can possibly be. And it's not necessarily us. It's just us yielding to God. Amen. It's just yielding to him. It's saying yes to God. My God, it's so important. My. It's so easy to miss people. But if God moves upon your heart, when I say miss people, to look past them, to say, well, I'm not the preacher, or I'm not the teacher, or I don't operate like that. And you can lock yourself in to say I'm shy, or that's just not me. God's always going to push you past yourself. Amen. From the time that you walk in here, you're going to get pushed past yourself so that God can show you that he can make you different. He will push you outside of your comfort zones all the time. Because he's trying to show you that he's done a work in you that you don't even acknowledge or see yet. And it's so important that we can't glorify God if we don't see what he's doing. The title of this message, told you I was going to use it recently. A heart knows its own bitterness. Every heart, everybody say it with me, every heart knows its own bitterness. That's the title, Brother Steve, of this message. Every heart knows its own bitterness. Now, the scripture reference is found in Proverbs 14:10. It's the first portion of that scripture. Just a couple amens will be enough for me because it's a very short verse. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray that we begin to see ourselves in your word, that your word would minister to us by your spirit. Without you, I can do nothing. Without your presence here, I can do nothing. I'm leaning upon you, Father, to guide me and direct me throughout this sermon in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm thanking you in advance. I'm thanking you in advance for helping some of us, all of us, in some way, shape, or form, to understand the significance of our walk with God, to understand the significance as we walk with you that we have to be transparent, that we have to confess our faults one to another, that we may be healed, that we have to stop hiding from ourselves, hiding from our issues, hiding from our problems, hiding from the things that we don't understand, that we have to walk with you as you are in the light. The Bible says he is in the light, and we have to walk with him in his light, and we've got to be able to walk with him in a way that's pleasing in his sight so that we spend eternity with him in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, what you see is not always what you get. I have learned to smile through pain. I've learned to endure pain. Now let's go with physical pain. I've been in a dentist's office before, and they were drilling in my mouth, and my ignorance was this. You mean I wasn't supposed to feel that? That's a very painful thing. When you're in a dentist and they're just, and I can hear the sounds, and I can feel the cracking of the bones in the gums and stuff, and I thought it was normal because of my ignorance. They hadn't sedated me enough, and I felt more pain than I should have. Sometimes we sedate ourselves enough. We know how to sedate ourselves enough so that we don't feel the full brunt of the pain, but we're still in pain. And see, coming out of the world, and I want to show you something. I want to explain to you that how you came out of the world is significant because of this. God doesn't want you to remember how you came out of it. He doesn't want you to remember it in the sense of, this is where I'm at. He wants you to know that you've passed from death to life. There's a difference. You came out of death. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. So you were in something, but you came out of it. But I'm not. When I say don't look back, I'm saying don't look back at desiring to be there. It's funny to me. I could be in my car alone. I say alone, and the station comes on, and it has some old music I used to listen to, and I can see myself just dancing to it. I'm like, devil, you're a liar. I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to that club, and I'm going to find myself in that. I'm not shaking my leg that way unless it's in the church. But the thing about it, you have to understand that the enemy always tries to lure you back. And see, thank you for sharing your testimonies today. Since in November, when you were sharing your testimony, God was trying to, he was showing you that you have changed. He was validating you. He was saying, you're my child, and I'm going to put you through tests and trials so that you know that when you stand, you're standing with me. You're standing with me. And see, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he will vindicate you quickly. Every time. Why? Because you belong to him. You see, in the darkness or in the past or in the world, you don't have those kind of relationships with people or with God. But when you come out of darkness and you walk into, it says, his marvelous light. Man. This is where you start seeing God working and moving in your life in such a way that no man could say it differently. But no one ever could describe to you what your journey will be like either. Because you have to experience it. So don't ever be afraid of walking with God, because he will never leave you. He won't back up and say, well, I'm ashamed of you. Only when you do it to him. He said, if you say you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. You need to understand that this relationship, God takes it pretty serious. It's one of the most serious relationships that you'll ever have in your life is the one that you have between you and God. He will not tolerate any kind of idolatry, and this is what it says. See, when I came to God, I never heard. I read it, but I didn't really understand what it meant. When someone was an idol being someone or something that's between you and God. Anything. It could be a car. It can be a profession. It could be an individual person. It can be your family. Because, see, I love the fact that God dwells in the place that we need him the most, and that's our heart. And because he dwells in the heart, he can tell you who you really love. And if you love the world more than you love him, it's not a statement of you are doomed and there's no more hope for you. It's a statement that says, I know your heart, and I can help you change your heart. I can help you transform the way you think about the world that you came out of, and that you can live for me in such a way that brings me glory and brings you hope, brings you my presence, brings you better things. I can reveal things to you when you come out of darkness. So I came out of darkness, but I didn't think of how important I was to God. I don't know how to say this any other way. I don't think you know how important you are to God. And the reason I say that is because, Sister Yolanda, if you hadn't come back when you came back, you would have never went and prayed for so-and-so, and so-and-so would never have. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. If I'm not mistaken, our steps are ordered of the Lord, and we don't know how God's going to move upon one of our hearts to minister to someone else, because he says, you are my hands and you are my feet. So we have to stop. I have to stop walking in. I would call it like an unworthy thought or a feeling about myself. You're worth something in God's eyes. If he knew you before he placed you in the womb, that says a lot. It says a lot that, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. One of the things that we don't sometimes understand is that God knew all of humanity's callings and giftings. Some of us just answered the calling and gifting. Some of us haven't yet. So when someone becomes your enemy, they have a call on their life already. And the only way you would have prayed for him if he became your enemy. It's amazing how God has to orchestrate things in order for us, the church, to reach out to someone. I mean, we pass by people all the time and not know how important they are to God. But let them cuss you out. Let them call you something. Let them agitate you. Let them irritate you. Those words I'm using is to show you that we all get angered. We all get angered by something, and it's not a mistake. God uses it. To be anger, the definition is to be irritated, annoyed. Just raise your hand when you feel any of those things. Provoked, to be grieved, vexed, to be offended, to be feel painful, be constricted, a sense of rage, a sense of wrath, all that about anger. And you feel these things, and you're, thank you for being so honest, because see, the thing about it, the anger, how can I say this? We always, thank you, Lord, he gave me the way that I was supposed to say it. We've always talked about processes in the church, amen? Get in the process, stay in it, and God will take you through it. Don't subvert the test. Don't step out because it gets hard, right? So in that saying, you also have to understand that the enemy likes to take you through a process as well. The process he takes you through is let you get irritated or let you get frustrated with someone to take some space up in your head just long enough so that you can't go to bed or you can't sleep without thinking about him. He's trying to take up real estate in your mind and in your heart so that you're distracted. And so his process is to keep you on that, keep you working, living in that space, living with that. Some people, Brother Maurice always says headspace, and I said, where does that come from? So he wants to get into that headspace that you're in, that anger to stay there, because anger does what? Resteth in the bosom of a fool. That means it begins to affect your actions. You can't say you love someone if you're angry with them. So, and it says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. You know, there's been so many tragedies, things that have happened because people let that anger just fester and stay there. And for God to show you that you can overcome your anger doesn't have to overcome you. You don't have to be defined or so proud of your anger anymore because God has done a work in you. It's something that we all deal with. But then the Lord said, if you allow that anger to stay and you begin to live with it, you can get a spirit of bitterness. I said, Lord, I'm not bitter at nobody. You don't know you, because the Bible says he knows our hearts, doesn't he? And so don't argue with God when he tells you something about yourself, because you'll always be wrong. He is the truth. That's why he says, I am the truth. He says, then believe the truth. Okay, so when my daughter came to me and said, Dad, the Lord showed me, and I don't say this, I hope it doesn't ever sound mocking, but I am grateful for someone that has the courage to tell me the truth. Okay? I'm very grateful for it. And I hope all of us get to a place where I would rather hear you say the truth and be angry with you for a moment, go in my prayer closet, and God will confirm it. And so the thing about it, another way that God vindicates us is by having someone else come right around behind it, what you said, and say the exact same thing to confirm it. And all of a sudden, you got two witnesses. These witnesses are witnessing against you so that you come clean. You've got to come clean with God. And he says, if you won't do it, I'll send witnesses. I'll send someone that doesn't know you in as far as the inward part, because I'm the only one who knows the inward part. And you know the inward part. You and I know the inward part, but you're hiding. You're not living free. You're not set free. Because to whom the Son is set free is free indeed. That means that if you're free indeed, then I can't really love my sister. I can't really love my brother to the full extent because I'm not free. And when you're not free, God's spirit doesn't flow through you the same. And so the family gets together and says, we're going to have, it came together as me fasting for 3 days and coming together with my family, and they prayed for me. And I told you this already, but I'm just reiterating it so that you understand the context of what I'm talking about. I stood before them praying in the Holy Ghost only. Ain't never, if I said a few words, it was just a few words. I never confessed anything out of my mouth. I'm telling you that because the Bible says when you pray, pray in your understanding with your own words that you understand and people around you understand, as well as in the Holy Ghost. He's giving you two ways to pray, with your own expression, your words, or in the Holy Ghost, your spirit. And those are necessary. He's equipped you with whatever you need in order to get your deliverance. And I was kind of scared when the Lord said, deliver yourself this time. Because when you have to deliver yourself, you have to go through your process. And you can't get away from it because no one's there to come and help you. And when you go through it yourself, you don't ever forget it. No one came and prayed and knew exactly what I was going through because God said, he says, you're going to be able to say, Eric, when whom the Son has set free is free forever. Sometimes we settle with, at some point, I'm going to get offended again. I'm going to get angry again. But see, that's not my nature because I'm not going back. I'm going to continue going forward. In order for me to go forward, I have to hate which is behind me, and I got to press towards the mark of the high calling of God. You have to want what God wants for you more than what you used to have. Because you found comfort in being angry. You found comfort in being a victim. You found comfort in feeling sorry for yourself. You found comfort in it somehow. And that's perverted. He never intended for you to be sorrowful. He never intended for you to be sad all the time. He never intended for you to have broken relationships and live them out throughout your life. Because there's something that you're not confronting. There's something that you're not saying. There's something that you're not doing. And then this church people come and say, we're going to do 30 days a year. You mean I got to deal with this stuff? I don't know why out of sight, out of mind really works for me. If I don't see the person and they're not in my sight, in my mind, I don't have to think about them. But God says, your heart's still filthy. Your heart's still dirty. Oh, I forgave them. No, you didn't. But why is it every so often you keep remembering? Where's the residue come from? From my understanding, when he washes you with the word, he washes you. It says no spot or wrinkle. He's the best detergent. He will wash you and make you clean. And people will see you and say, man, I remember how you used to be so bitter. I remember how you used to be such an angry person. I remember because I was one of the ones inflicted by your anger and your bitterness. But now you don't have it no more. Thank God. There is a God. There's something about relationships that will humble you. Because sometimes when you will only share the surface, God takes people past the surface because he knows the heart. So I'm going, that was last week. And this week, at the beginning of the week, I said, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. I feel numb. I've never said that in my life. I have never said I feel numb. So whenever I say a word lately, he just lets me sit in it and says, go look it up. So I go over to my little Bible dictionary, my dictionary, and it says, deprived of sensation. That's just how I felt. This is so important that you understand your gifting works even when you're numb. Your gifting is not attached to your soul in that way. I can still pray for you, and God can heal you, and he can do everything he want to do in you because it's his spirit doing it, not me. But my soul was so jacked up. I said, Lord, I feel numb. I'm not feeling anything like I used to. So you go from being angry, and this is what I like to do with, this is what I have, my practice has been in the past, is that I like to suppress my anger. I'm not angry. I didn't feel that. I can ignore it one more time. I can push it down. Now, at some point, Even like those little ding, 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 pop goes the weasel. I popped out and I was a weasel. We were sitting at home with the family, and all of a sudden there's a conversation going on, and I, everybody stopped and looked at me like, Dad, where did that come from? The weasel popped out. Because you can't turn something down. You can't suppress things. You can only suppress things for so long before they explode. Before they embarrass you. Before they bring you to shame. Before they cause you to make decisions and choices that you have to live with for a season. I don't want what I felt back there to affect my seasons going forward. And it happens because of what you weren't willing to do with God back then. He came to you and said, forgive. I can't forgive them. So you go into the next season. And then you realize, see, when you have resentment, is when you feel you've been injured by somebody. I've been injured by someone else's choices or decisions. And I didn't go to them, like the Bible says. I didn't go to them and say, what you did, your actions, I don't mean anything against you as a person, but your actions injured me. They hurt me. They made me feel like I don't want this relationship with you. That's an injury. But you know what I did? Push it down and keep going. And I want you to know right now, that's not love. That is not a demonstration of your love for someone when you suppress what they've done to you. Love, love. If you're going to love somebody, tell them the truth. That's right, that's right, that's right. Trust them with it. Trust God with it. Because, see, we're trying to be a church. We're trying to be a family. We're trying to be an ecclesia, which means to be called out.
That's right.
When you're called out, that means you're called out of darkness. So if you're called out of darkness, why are you still walking in darkness by suppressing what's going on in your heart? And the Bible says, great is that darkness. That's in you. The darkness is no longer in the world. It's in you. So then you can't really see where to go because your heart has been darkened. So why am I struggling with relationships? Why am I not knowing, being able to follow? Because you didn't do the work back there. So you go through seasons, and then you end up numb. Deprived of sensation. Now see, I've done a little construction in my life, and sometimes I think I'm a little stronger than I really am. So I picked up this center block, which is a cement block about this big, and I happened to drop it on my little pinky. I cried bigger than it had been on my toe. It shattered every bone in that finger. It just like, and it's funny, when it shows you x-ray, it looked like a chicken bone. I said, I've done that to chicken bones before. It was all splintered. I was like, and I just dropped it on the tip of my finger, and it shattered every bone in that finger, and I had no sensation. I had no feeling in it. And even when it gets cold, I don't know it's there. It's like you don't feel it. You feel like down here, but the tip of your finger, I have no feeling in it because of that crushing, because something had been crushed. You're not supposed to suppress things because after a while you get numb and you don't feel anything anymore. Be careful. Be careful that you don't keep going in a way that seems right to you. I don't know where it came from, but the Bible says every man is right in his own eyes. For something in me said it was okay to keep suppressing till it started changing my character. So it starts making you different. So I'm telling you, on the other side of your anger is peace. On the other side of your anger is joy. Your other side of the things that you struggle with is the fruits of God's Spirit, but he cannot manifest his fruit if you haven't cut the vine, the old vine, the old things that used to be a part of your life, the things that intrinsically have gone through your life, and you said, this is me. This is who I am. I want to say that I was afraid to be transparent in front of my children because I didn't know what was coming. See, it's easy for some people when they have their notes up here and they keep going back to their notes because they know exactly what they're going to say. But as I'm speaking and ministering in the Holy Ghost, sometimes God takes me off course and has me say things even about myself that I had never intended to say. Because he doesn't want me to be safe. He doesn't want you to be safe. He wants you to trust him. And in trusting him, you are safe. That's the crazy thing. When you trust God, you're safe. My God. So the process has been being angry, and I'm not talking about a week, a month, a year. I'm talking about week, month, year. Because the testimony came back later that someone said, these are things that you've been dealt with for years or haven't dealt with for years. And God is not playing. I'm always saying, standing up before you saying, God is not willing that any should perish. And sometimes we relegate that statement to those that are lost. He doesn't want you to be lost either. So you need to understand that salvation, that he said, how can you neglect so great a salvation? How am I neglecting my salvation, Lord? By suppressing your anger. By not dealing with the things that are dealing with you. Lord, I'm angry. I'm a kind of angry person now. But I know that you can help me with my anger. And there's nothing more important than your transformation. Because if you think about transformation, that means that light can show through it. Translucent, something that becomes clear. He wants his light to shine through you, but it can't if you have the darkness of the anger and the resentment and the bitterness and all the things that come with it in your heart rather than the love of God. So that which was, and there's so many scriptures that come to my mind as I'm talking about this right now. The Bible says, you were once a wild olive, and he engrafted you into a branch, and he brought me from the world into his church. How could I still not walk with him the way he wants me to walk with him? You see what I'm saying? I don't want you to be in your 60s. Some of you are in your 30s and 40s. Don't come here. I feel like that man that's, you know how in the Bible where Jesus spoke to a man who lives scrumptiously and he had everything he could imagine. He's a rich man. And there was a beggar, Lazarus, outside the camp. And he passed by the beggar all the time. But when it was time for them both to die, the rich man ended up in hell, but the beggar ended up in the bosom of Abraham, in a type or a shadow of heaven and hell. But the thing about the man that was the rich man who was that he lived scrumptiously, whatever, he wanted to go back and speak to those of his family and tell them not to come here. He said, if the testimonies of the word of God or my prophets was not enough, you can't go back. I want you to know something. I can't go back and fix anything I've ever done in my life, but I can live differently going forward. That's right. You can't fix that, but you can live forward. It's amazing. That's why the scripture says, old things are passed away. All things become new. That's not just where you stand with God. Because if he's forgiven you, you're standing in his presence, cleansed, forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Isn't that, just to think, he may not have ever come to you and said, you're forgiven. And if you need that, you need to pray. And say, Lord, I need to know. Is there anything else I need to confess? What I was hoping during the testimony service would have happened, it would have been so powerful, is that people were testifying about, and this is what they were saying. In my past, I would have dealt with this situation differently. We should have been applauding right there. I'm serious. Because see, it says, rejoice with them that rejoice. And then if you realize that when you hear testimonies, it's not just to tell you how they've grown, but also what you should be looking for in your life. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is the work of the cross that Jesus Christ did in all of our lives, right? But then it says, and they overcame with their testimony. This is November, you're overcoming. When you realize that you're overcoming, and see, and I don't know why every time I do that, the Lord said, you're overcoming, you're making a step closer to him. And so you were here when you didn't understand that you were overcoming, when you didn't understand what God was doing, but when you actually had that circumstance, that trial, that test, it showed you that you overcame. And when I'm going this way, I'm going closer to the things of God. And I can look back and say, that's how I used to be, but this is what God is doing. And so when someone comes to you and says, how do you live for God? Well, this is how I used to be, and this is where I stand today because of the victory in Jesus Christ. He fought the greatest battle. You didn't have to die for anything. You just got to die to yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. My God. So being numb is deprived of sensation, the power of movement. That's what being numb. It's like I can't bend my finger the way I used to because it got damaged and it was broken. It's deprived of emotion or feeling powerless. And this is the thing that really got me. That's when God began to deal with me about being, it says, literally taken and seized. Now, when I think of taken, the Bible says that for the believer, don't be taken by the snares of the devil. The snares of the devil are like this. He has traps set out for you. For some men, it's lust. For some, I will say this. Thank you, Lord. I have the liberty to say this. When I, in my past, would view, watch, see, feel lustful thoughts or pornography or any of those kind of things, when I stepped away from it, I see it more now than ever. The temptation to go back into it. Why is it I can throw something away and look in the trash can and there it is? Because you're being set up with snares. It sounds childish, but you have to understand, the enemy is looking for an open door to entrap you in a lifestyle or a way of thinking. Rather than saying, Lord, I'm being tempted by this, I need you to help me. But no, you suppress or you get embarrassed or you say, well, I'm not going to talk about that. So many of us are doing this. I just hope they don't see me. I'm going to keep coming to church, though, because I know they'll call me. I'm going to keep showing up at the ladies' fellowship because I know they're going to call me. But if I can keep hiding the things I struggle with, they won't see me. Take your hand down. Because the rest of you is all exposed. And that's what it is. We try to cover ourselves with the fig leaves. And that's all you're covering. And everything else about you is naked. We can see you. The Holy Ghost can see you. And you can't hide. So why not just, let me clarify something. We've had some men's meeting where people start confessing some stuff. And I'm like, stop. We don't need to know all those details. Sometimes people take pride in what they used to do. There's a balance. You can tell when somebody wants help versus somebody wants to gloat. You can tell the difference when somebody really wants your help versus somebody's like, I used to be this kind of. Yeah, right. That's how you saw it. So in the Psalms 32:5, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. The sin is the act. The iniquity is the continuance of it. Does that make sense? The sin is the act. If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, that's the sin. But if he continues that process and making excuses for it, Lord, I'm a man. Mm-hmm. Like you're telling God something that he don't know already. Lord, I have needs. Like you're telling God something he doesn't know. But you're not willing to confess that it's a sin. So you keep walking in it. And I'll tell you this, because a lot of young men need to understand this. It starts with what you see, and then it begins to affect your mind. And then you start entertaining perversion. And I'm not talking about the gross perversion, just the slight perversions that start out that way. And when you say perversion, what the Lord showed me, many men don't understand, the perversion is how he changes the way you see things. Perversion, just like the Bible says that God is not a respecter of person, perversion will take a young man and cause him to lust after an old woman. That's perverse. And see, or to see things differently. Every time you, I'm trying to think of an example. That's appropriate, I should say. But see, when your mind gets perverted, you walk around in guilt and shame. You can't look at people the right way. I knew a man who was a believer, and he really didn't know a lot about God. He didn't know how God really worked because he wasn't raised or born in the church. He was a young man that was part of a motorcycle gang, and what they would do is they would go into rich neighborhoods, and they would capture women. And when they captured them, they would get them hung up on drugs that they sold them, and they became not prostitutes, but they became their girlfriends, and they would do anything they wanted them to do for them. And he tested his girlfriend one time. He says, I want you to go and be with this man. That was his best friend. And when she did it with this other man, he said, I had nothing else to do with her. That's perverted. That's wrong. That's playing with people's heart, their body, and their soul. Why am I telling you this? Because the enemy wants to pervert the way you see things. He wants to pervert the way you think about things. And even though your giftings and your callings, God has got those sealed, you can still walk in wrong ways. And that's what he wants to cleanse your soul from. And that's where confession comes in. And so sometimes when you're hearing testimonies from people, realize they are confessing something to you right then so that you might pray for them. They may have never come to you face to face and said, this is what I'm struggling with. But when you hear them say, I used to be this, and that they just came through a trial, now you know how to pray for them. I know how to pray for you now. Praise God. The Bible says to know them that labor amongst you. How can you know them if you're not listening? So I already know. I said it out of my mouth that I felt numb, and I know somebody is already going to pray for me. I don't want to be here. And I don't say that arrogantly. Sometimes you need to be in places where you need help because you don't understand how important people are. It's not because God can't help you, but he says, if you won't humble yourselves before your brother or sister, I'm going to have to let you stay there a little while. Because you're in captivity, but I got to leave you there for just a little bit longer until you say, I want out, and now I can humble myself before my brother and my sister and tell them I need them. So you'll stay in captivity until you humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, you'll see God come in and love you. And his love for you never changes. It's just that you can feel the love of God then. There's a difference. God's love never changes, but sometimes you just don't feel it. It's because you're not in the right position. Your heart posture is wrong. Oh, let's all stand. The title of this message was, A Heart Knows Its Own Bitterness. No one knows like you know. No one knows like you know what you've been through in your life. Any kind of hardship, any kind of pain, any kind of rejection, everything. No one knows it like you do. But the thing about it is that I believe we have a body here and have had a body like this for some time. And if you don't take advantage of those who care about you and love you, you're going to stay stuck. And that's what I don't want you to do. That's what I don't want to be. Lord, the Lord has been showing me, he says, you're just not ready yet. I understand that. And he wanted me to teach this lesson because I've never felt numb before. And when you get numb, you have no sensation. Everything else is going around you, but you're not feeling it the way that you should. I want revival. I want revival. I am serious when I said I want to experience revival for myself. I want to be able to come to the pulpit and not have any thoughts about my past. And that's coming for me. But, see, it started where I'm at. I had to acknowledge where I'm at. This is where I'm at. I'm numb, Lord. I need you to give me back the feeling and the sensation and the desire. My God. I'm just going to say this so that in case you ever experience it. When I'm in a good place with God and I start praying and worshiping God, he literally shows me a vision of myself with two swords in my hand. It's awesome. It's a woo-hoo-hoo! Because you're taking care of something. And they're spinning. I say, ooh, I like this. I like the visuals. But he says, but when you're not where you're supposed to be, I have not seen that vision for about 2 weeks now, 3 weeks probably. And I was like, wow, things change. He showed me my heart changed. See, I can't come fight for you if I'm struggling with something. And so when we come into the house of God, it's good to lay down your weapons that you used to use out there and pick up the ones he has for you here. Let's lift up our hands one more time and say, Father, we thank you so much. I pray, dear God, that our time has not been in vain, but that you, Lord, would seriously take the word that's been spoken and let it be planted in good ground, that the things, examples, and the things that were said or spoken would have some positive effect, some life-changing effect, that we would desire not to ever be numb. And if there's anybody here that's ever been numb or felt numb or even at present feel like they're in that place, I pray that they have the courage to come forward and ask us to pray for them. I'm going to ask for prayer today from you. Sometimes you can feel numb because you've been through a lot and you don't have the feeling about God. And it's nothing, God hasn't changed. It's we can sometimes just feel a little numb. Like, I don't feel the excitement I used to have. Everything's, so much is going on. Sometimes I'm just overly stressed. Sometimes my mind is on my job more than it is on the body of Christ and my walk with you, Father. Sometimes my vision is clouded. Sometimes I just don't feel like I ought to. And Lord, sometimes I let things become important, more important than you in my life. But now, Father, I'm confessing that to you right now. I'm asking you to change the course of my heart, my life, my actions, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Search my heart, O God. Search my heart and know me. There's nothing that's hid from you, Father. I confess to you, Lord. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And he is righteous, and he shall forgive. Change our perspective, Lord. Allow us to see what you're desiring to do in our lives. Because something the Lord showed me that we each are going to at some point say, I have revival, or I'm in revival. But it's when it becomes your revelation, when you see it for yourself, you're going to actually say, I am walking in my revival. My life has changed. I'm walking in a way that's pleasing to God. I'm seeing the things that he has for me. I'm no longer blinded by my sin. I'm no longer walking in darkness, but I'm seeing what he has for me. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed anymore. Thank you, Jesus. I hope if you haven't come to the altar that your hands are stretched forward to pray for those who are at the altar. If you're not at the altar, I pray that you can pray for those who are. As you're praying for yourself, because you're so important to God. Your victories, your triumphs are so important to God. Because we prayed and we asked him, and he's bringing it, and he's manifesting his revival. It's not our revival, it's his revival. He's changing us. He's transforming us into his image. He's allowing to lay aside all the sins and the weight that so easily besets us. He's restoring our strength. He's allowing us to see the prayers answered that we've been praying for and longing to see. He's teaching us to be patient and to wait upon him. He's showing us that we're not failures. We're not come short of the promises of God. That he has not forsaken us. That he is in our midst. I thank you for the miracles that you're doing, Lord. I thank you for the healings that you're going to do and you have done. I thank you for restoration, Father, for this body. What you used to be, you're not anymore. What you used to believe, you don't believe it anymore. Renewing our minds, oh God. Thank you, Father. I see you doing it already, Lord. You've taken some people out of places that they used to be where they felt oppressed. But now you've given them liberty. You've given them their own place that they can develop good things with you, Father. But it's habits and disciplines that we need. Even when you're hurting, keep your disciplines. That's what a disciple does. Oh, find strength in the Lord. In Jesus' name. Bless, Lord. Bless. Bless, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Bless, Lord. Let her mind be transformed by your word, O God. The old things are passed away and all things become new. Renewing her mind by the Holy Ghost.